That time of the week where we catch up with Morris Mislowski, our business futurist, who has one eye on the future and one eye on the Skype screen in front of his face this morning. Morning, Morris.
Good morning, Kia.
Let's start off with this delightful list that you've put forward to me today, a list of nine things we're not going to have in 2030. And this one, first up, I got to tell you, kind of scares me slightly. You think we're going to lose traffic lights, we're going to lose speed limits, roundabouts, it's just going to be intelligent roads and what's autonomous vehicles?
No, not so much autonomous vehicles in the way that most people think. In other words, I don't think we're going to have the pod that we all sit down in and it drives itself and we have no control over it. We're not headed to that world quite yet. But we'll have fairly intelligent cars. They're already widely available. They already understand the road more than we ever thought a car would be, even in the Jetsons days. But what I'm getting to is not just the motor vehicle, which is a part of it, but our roads are becoming increasingly intelligent. They have sensors built into them. They have satellites that are scouring them constantly. We have lots of things that are actually sending signals about the road traffic conditions, about the weather, about breakages, about all sorts of bits and pieces. And what we're going to do over the next few years is stitch them together in a way that gives us a consistent message of what's happening on the road and dynamically changes the conditions so that the best traffic can flow, so that we have optimum movement as and where we need it. And that's really our destination for the next 10, 15 years, is to sort out the mess on our roads and see if we can make more sense out of it.
Okay. But do you still think, though, beyond that time frame, you know, 2030 onwards, that the autonomous thing is going to happen in the way that they are predicting it will happen?
Yeah, we'll get to autonomous vehicles. I have said I don't think that, again, in this Hollywood version of what we all want it to be, about 2035, 2040 is most likely for most of us on the roads. We'll actually have it off-site, so you'll start to see it at private places like universities, on large campuses, inside, outside hospitals, in airports, because they're controlled conditions, much easier to do. But on the roads, most of us, not until about 2030, 2035. But our cars are so intelligent now, we take it for granted that we don't even have to put our foot on the pedal anymore. We can press a button. We have cars that aren't allowed to yet, but are being sold, that can literally drive themselves. We're just waiting for the lawmakers to catch up. Volvo, a whole lot of other, Tesla and others have them available right now.
Yeah. Tax returns. You also think they're on the way out. Now, is that because we'll all just be so connected to everything and it'll be so transparent, all of our transactions, that there'll be no, be nothing to hide, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much end of discussion. Look, unfortunately, I don't think that it's going to be the end of tax returns. In other words, I don't think we're all getting out of a tax system we don't have to pay for anymore. That's not the good news at all. I wish it was. But the reality is exactly as you've just said, that there is so much detail about what we're doing online that it doesn't make sense in many ways for us to historically go back at the end of the year and try and put it all together. It in fact, and I know it's scary and it's not something that many of us enjoy the thought of, but it is much easier if it just amasses itself and gives it to you at some point and says, look, is this right or wrong? If it's wrong, tell us where. If it's right, just tick it, flick it, do whatever you want, and we'll send you a refund or pay us what's owing. And that we're starting to see in America. We've already got evidence of that happening in America. It seems to be the way we're headed.
Yeah, I look, again, that one sort of makes sense, and I can imagine being an accountant and not feeling entirely happy about it. Restaurant menus disappearing, and this makes total sense because you're going to say it's on the tech that we have with us, kind of knowledge.
Yeah, it absolutely is. In fact, in China, it's becoming increasingly unusual to be given a menu in a store. Something as simple as WeChat, which is the Facebook equivalent used by billions of people throughout Asia, literally the expectation is, without any comment, without any signs in the store, is when you walk into the smallest of restaurants, largest of restaurants, you can look up the menu on WeChat. There might be a bit of video there. The chef might be talking again in his video about how she or he prepared the food. You can order it, put your allergens in, things you do and don't want. And as part of that transaction, you also pay for it. And it's all done and delivered to your table. It kind of makes sense to me too. Why do I want a static bit of paper? This thing is really dynamic. The chef can change it as she or he wants and needs.
Yeah, and I guess the truth is there are fast food chains already in Australia doing essentially that same thing as well. So, you order, you head into the store, it's there ready for you, and you've done it on your own tech.
Yeah.
Speaking of that own tech, as I joked about before, the idea of getting rid of those user interfacey things like keyboards, mice, those sorts of things. You're talking brain-machine interfaces, which fits very well in with the joke that my wife always makes about me spending my retirement basically plugged into a PlayStation 4 via the back of my head. Is this genuinely going to be something that we can see in that next time frame? Literally in just over a decade, we're going to get that.
I think we're going to see it in the next couple of months.
Wow.
The reality is that the iPhone X now, which good, bad or indifferent, and I'm kind of on the fence about it, but what it has in it is an evolution that I don't think most people will realize until we look back 10 years from it. In other words, the iPhone X or 10 now turns itself on when you look at it. I mean, a really strange thing to say, but you actually don't have to interface with it all except put it up to your face, and all of a sudden it knows who you are and what you might be looking for. You can speak to it, and Siri, good, bad, or indifferent, again, can answer you back and find you all kinds of bits and bobs. That's so different from anything we would have imagined even 5 years ago as being possible. And increasingly, the technology that we buy is very much human interactive. And I know in Silicon Valley and in all the garages around the world of people that are thinking up great ideas, it really is never about using a mouse or a keyboard anymore. It's about using some kind of natural language approach to it. So it's quite possible that within 10 years, all of the things that we're quite used to now, the keyboards and mice and the rest, will be secondary or tertiary input devices. In other words, we'll go to them when everything else fails, but not as a first point of call.
Yeah, and look, I'll concur again because I'm an Android user, but it still blows my mind just how accurate both its ability to understand and then process and diagnose my questioning. It gets it right so frequently, it's a little bit scary these days.
It's so recent, Keir, isn't it? I mean, even a year ago when you tried it, it was clumsy. We've talked about all this kind of ability to dictate, you know, to speak and for the technology to know what you're saying. 5-10 years ago, that was so clumsy and awful. We were all trying to pretend it was wonderful, but it wasn't. And as you've said, now it just is almost, and I know this is a geek and a nerd talking, but it's almost joyous. I've spent the last 3 months purposefully trying not to use all of the usual, the keyboards and mice and stuff, and talking to technology. And it's frustrating at times, but as you said, it's amazing how often it's not frustrating, how it just works.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that idea of being able to interact and interface with the computer intelligence, if I can utilize that word, without those interfaces, it's kind of been a dream for you know, as long as sci-fi has been around, essentially, hasn't it?
And it's the human quest. We really don't want to use keyboards. We weren't born to type. We weren't born to use mice. We had to learn all those things, but we were born to speak and to look at things and to interact. And that is really what we want technology to do. When it becomes absolutely purposeful, it will have reached that possibility. Until then, it's just another tool.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that Star Trek movie where Scotty sat down at the Macintosh in 1986 and said, computer, and they said, no, you've got to use the mouse, and he picked up the mouse and spoke into it and said, computer. Right, health. Nanobot doctors, which we've talked about before, but also this idea of being able to 3D print our organs by 2030, Morris?
Again, we're already seeing evidence of that. Now, this is not wholesale walk into the hospital, get kidneys and hearts, stop screaming. I know that doesn't exist right now. But there is really good laboratory tests going on right around the world, not some mad scientist somewhere, but around the world, incredible spaces and people who are literally 3D printing small prototypes, who are taking cells and turning them into all kinds of incredible organs. Now, we must probably on the cusp of it, meaning 10, 15, 20 years away. But by 2030, I think it'll be an ordinary conversation to say it is possible that this might be something that we can use. And again, really strong evidence of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same with the actual little, the tiny little nanobot things inside our bloodstream, specifically targeting, you know, particular things, specifically taking particular data and feeding that back. That's close too, you reckon?
It's here now, so we can already do it. It's clumsy and expensive at the moment and really only used in high order cases. But we can now either inject or swallow a gelatin tablet. And that's one thing that was patented about 4 weeks ago. A gelatin tablet that can contain a camera or can contain specific medication. Now, we've done this before. We've had compounded medicines, and compounded medicine was something made specifically for you, but you ingested it and went generally into the body hoping to find its spot. This is really targeted, and it will change. I'm confident by 2030, 2040 for sure, that we won't understand why we took x-rays and blood tests. They will have made no sense, not because they're bad, but because they only show us a particular instant in time at the time of taking them, whereas these things travel over a period of time. They can show a change in the way that you react or your body acts to the outside world, or just over a period of days. That's the big difference.
Remarkable. And look, the smartphone as well you see disappearing, but do you see that like just becoming and evolving into other smaller things that are still on us, or again, is this something where it's going to be stuck inside our head in some way?
Well, I think it's all of those, and for me it's the reality that I don't think it'll be one centralized piece of equipment anymore. The same way that we've shrunk 8 or 9 bits of stuff into a phone, you know, we've put our cameras into it, we've put our phone into it, obviously we've put calculators. I think what we're going to do is actually bury these technologies into all sorts of other things, like our shoes. It might be into our head, it might be into some of the medicine that we carry around in our body. So it'll be there, but in very, very different ways. And again, this is the era when I think we're going to speak and use natural interface. So it will just be that kind of thing where technology exists, like electricity and gas.
Yeah, and let's finish off with that one which you just said, which is that the talking interface, the idea of instant translation, the Babel fish in your ear, like from Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Again, this is a technology which is upon us now, essentially, Morris, and it's only going to improve.
Well, it is. I mean, Google announced about a month ago that there are earbuds that you can buy that specifically work in translation. Somebody will speak, and within about a second or two, you will get another language translation out of it. So somebody speaking French to you, you only understand English, and you'll get the translation quite quickly. It's, again, as we said earlier, not too bad. I mean, if I had to rate it, I would say it's about a 6 or a 7 out of 10, which is much better than I could ever do with a phrase book or a dictionary. So we're at the space now where I think we'll collapse about, we have on Earth, we're told, about 5,800 languages at the moment. Most of them are regional, most of them are not spoken. In other words, they're so small and so insular. So those will disappear. We'll most probably come to 3 or 4 central languages that most people on the planet use, and we'll use these devices for everything else.
Absolutely. And I'll even concur with that in that the last few months I've sat down and had a conversation with a person in French who had very limited English skills, although better than my French, obviously. And the phone did it. The phone managed to do it. We sat it there and we spoke, and then it translated, and then he spoke, and then it translated for me, and we had an actual conversation, which again gave me goosebumps on the day.
It's phenomenal. I mean, as you said all the way through, it's science fiction stuff, and I'm glad that we don't take it for granted because it is extraordinary. And again, this isn't just tech and geek, you know, gushing. It is how it's changing humanity. It's how it's changing all sorts of things about what we thought was ordinary. And it's the same as, you know, 5-10 years ago, we would never thought of doing away with a phone book, or we would have not thought of, that we could do away with a map to find our destination, or even something as simple as whiteout or carbon paper. They've all disappeared. They were great in their day, but we've evolved past them.
Absolutely. We haven't evolved past you, though, Morris. Thank you so much for coming back from the future to talk with us today.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm headed off again.
Cool. Catch you in 2 weeks. That's Morris Mislowski, business futurist, Eye on the Future, and Future Curious Times as well, which you can just check out on the web, his e-magazine. Very busy travelling around the country and the planet, in fact, sharing these sorts of insights for what the future holds for all sorts of different clients. It's 10 minutes away from 10.